As we come to God's word and to our confession, let's seek his blessing in it. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, to whom else can we go for the words of life, for that wonder of having made known to us the wonder of who you are and what you have done. And we're thankful we come to you, a creator, a maker of heaven and earth, and that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son and Holy Spirit. So open your word to us, a familiar word. Open to us the words of your confession, that we may go out and witness to the world of the wonders of our great God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, where we hear the creation account, the beginnings, as we come to the Belgic Confession, Article 12, dealing with the creation of all things. And so I know the words are familiar, but listen to those phrases that are repeated. Listen to that way that God is revealing himself to us, even in familiar words. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds," and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God sent them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. As far as the reading of God's holy word. We also turn in the back of our hymnals to the Belgic Confession, Belgic Confession, Article 12. The creation of all things, especially the angels. We believe that the Father, by the Word, that is, by His Son, has created of nothing the heaven, the earth, and all creatures, when it seemed good unto Him, giving unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices to serve its Creator, that He also still upholds and governs them by His eternal providence and infinite power for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. He also created the angels good to be His messengers and to serve His elect, some of whom are fallen from that excellency in which God created them into everlasting perdition, and the others have, by the grace of God, remained steadfast and continued in their first state. The devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God in every good thing, to the utmost of their power as murderers watching to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, and are therefore by their own wickedness adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Therefore we reject and abhor the error of the Sadducees, who deny the existence of spirits and angels, and also that of the Manichees, who assert that the devils have their origin of themselves, and that they are wicked of their own nature without having been corrupted. Thus far the reading of our confession. May the Lord apply its teaching to our hearts and to our lives through His Word and Spirit. Children of God, called to be saints, when people ask you what you believe about creation, what do you tell them? What are you ready to tell them? What's on your heart to tell them? Maybe because we find ourselves very often within Christian circles, in the home and in the church and in the school, maybe we just run to assumptions. And so we don't really talk about it at all. And if that's the case, it's kind of too bad. Because we have a lot to say when it comes to the creation. Certainly in reading Genesis 1, that's writ large, it's true for us. In hearing our confession and thinking through all that God has made and what He has done, that which we take for granted, we have much to say. But sadly, that kind of contemplation then usually leads us in things that are just not helpful. Intramural arguments that have nothing to do with how do we reach the world with the message of creation? What kind of evangelism, what kind of outreach needs to pour forth from a proper understanding of what God has done? And so many people just stop their learning in terms of creation with just getting a view. So we'll give a view of creation, but you're not going to tell me anything about it. You're not going to say what God has done, what He is doing, what He continues to do. Just a view. And then we get angry when we hear talk of long days and short days and those combining science and theology and frameworks and poetry and carbon dating. And why can't we just believe what it says? But do we know what it says? Do we believe what God has given to us? When creation is brought up, maybe at your work, you know what, Pastor, I've tried to talk with people about it, but they look at me, when I don't use the word evolution, they look at me like, what planet do you live on? Everybody knows that's true. Really? Then what do you say? We cringe about it on the basis of our understanding of the Word of God, and yet when that return question comes, hey, Matt, what do you believe? What am I going to say? What are you going to say? Because too many Reformed and Presbyterian Christians say what? What do you believe? I believe a literal 6-24-hour day view. And that's it. That's all we say, as though everything we had to say about creation, about all that we just read in Genesis 1 through 2 verse 3, is just that. As though this is what's going to illumine their mind. And like, you know what? You're right. The teaching that I've heard in my darkness is gone. We have more to say. Much more to say. Because if that's all we say, we're not saying enough to the world. We're not saying what God has done. just the time frame in which he did it. And at least we're limiting ourselves when we could be saying and promoting so much more. And we have that opportunity, people of God, because man still questions that reality. Those theories change. Man, in his own wisdom, is still trying to look for an answer. His heart is still restless. It's because he's made in the image of God. Are we saying that? That you've been made according to his kind, his way, his will. Are we saying that? They can't find the answers and are still looking to hear truth. Are we speaking it? So the world, or when the world asks questions like these, what are we going to say other than I believe a six-day literal 24-hour creation? Why would a good, all-knowing, all-beneficent and kind God create that? I saw a video the other day, an atheist. How could God create a worm that only eats people's eyes out? Why would a good God do that? Why would a wise and beneficent God, one of goodwill and love, why would he allow war and famine and pestilence? How you answer is dependent on what you believe about that creation. When that loved one passes away and your unbelieving brother or sister or uncle or aunt comes to you and says, how can you believe that there's a will of God in this? It's dependent on your view of creation. How could God allow that government in Russia? How could he allow that leader in the United States to be in power? Why did God allow evil and death to come into the world? How can you possibly say that everything has a reason, a purpose, when so many of those things are so bad? What's your answer? I believe in a six-day, literal, 24-hour creation. It's not enough. I'm glad for orthodoxy. I'm glad that you can share that view for me. I'm glad that it's been ingrained into us. But a lost and dying world needs to know more from us. And maybe that scares us a little bit. Maybe that's why we retreat into the huddles that we do. Because it's not going to be challenged. And I don't have to answer those questions because nobody I hang out with is going to ask them. So yes, it's good that you know the timeline of creation. It's good that you know the days of creation. It's good that you know how to refute bad theology. But there's more. And Article 12 certainly shows us that. For the creation was made, but don't stop there. It was made for a purpose. First, for the glory of God, which is writ wide over all of creation. But there's a second purpose. And as you hear and listen to that article, we hear it over again, that it may serve its creator, that it may serve, that it may serve, that it may serve. That this creation given to us by God is used then for us to serve each other in this world, to love God and love neighbor. That view dictated by what we believe about creation. So we begin that conversation tonight and look at it next week then in understanding of how God continues to control it and rule it. But tonight the Christian confesses and believes that all things have been created and are governed and upheld by the Father through his Son unto service. This is revealed to us for service. That understanding is given to us that we may serve God. And so we see that then listed out as we consider how it comes to us by his word and then for his word. Just a couple of things to think about when we understand what has come to us through the revelation of God's word. First, it is by way of the word that we believe in creation in the first place. This isn't something that we've come to and discovered on our own. That this is God's grace by his word speaking to us, saying that this is what's happened. This is what I've done. And this is who I am. God introduces us to himself by way of what he has done. And that word is important. We believe. We believe the creation serves its purpose to what? To work in us, again, by and reveal to us in the Word, to reveal Him to us, that we might see Him. It serves His purpose. I am greater than you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and yet I've condescended to you. I've revealed myself and my glory to you, that you might marvel and be served in thinking about what I have brought about. Because it's by that word that all things have come into being. We believe that the Father, by the word, it's that word that rings out in Genesis 1. And He said, and He said, and He said. He spoke it into being. He didn't need to do anything else but speak. And as He speaks, what happens? That which comes from nothing comes into being. That each part of the creation as it springs up serves another part and more serves the glory of God. It all does. That by the word of the Lord, the psalmist rejoices in Psalm 33, verse 6, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. That by that same word, the Trinity reveals itself to us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's by that word, by that Son, that the creation comes into being. John 1, kids, that those verses that we learn so often, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then in verse 3, what do we hear? All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. That what we believe about creation speaks of what we believe about our Savior, of what we believe about His work and being the power of God. What we believe about the Holy Spirit making that plain to us. For it is by His word that He's created. We talk about creation, but do we think about what that is? That He has crafted something with care. We have all of those buzzwords today, right? Like handcrafted and artisan and these kinds of things to try to make some warm feeling for us that there's something special about this. That this is creation. That God speaks things exactly how He wants them. Completely and totally thought out according to His will. That it isn't a random happenstance. That there doesn't have to be a million year random process that makes all of this happen. But He fashions and He plans and He crafts a man. And crafts the woman from His rib. That He does this work to reveal who He is to us. A world that He creates by His word out of nothing. Young boys, when you were making your Pinewood Derby car, you didn't just get to say, hey, I need a block of wood. And it was there. I mean, unless you told your dad and he got it. No, you can't do that. We have to have stuff to build things. And your dads who are builders, they have to buy supplies. Or when you're at the shop, you have to have something. But out of nothing. Not out of chaos. Not out of disorder. Out of nothing, God calls all things into being. All things, as our creed says, visible and invisible. The heavens, the earth, and all creatures. In His time and in His way. That anything you look at, granted marred by sin, still nonetheless has that handiwork of the Father. Still bears that signature in one way. We can't mar it all away. But it is there for us to rejoice in and to serve our praise and understanding of who He is and what He's done. For it is by His word that He has given unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices. And you see, in those ways, we give answer to the evolutionist. We give answer to the atheist when we speak of design. When we speak of the fact that all of these things work together, that how can an ecosystem work together if this is just random things taking place and happening over the course of millions and millions of years? That we speak to the fact that He's a master potter. And that's the answer we need to give. What do you believe about creation? that God has crafted this world out of nothing. Yes, in an orthodox 6 days. But that he's made it. That's the point. Because what do we see in the world today? And what is that answer of creation that we need to start giving? You know what? God didn't make things, so we can define them how we want. And if I feel like this, or I feel like this gender, I feel like that God's made it. That this is the way he's fashioned it. And now we're trying to mar it even more. Woe to him who strives with him who formed him. A pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Your work has no handles. Isaiah 45. Paul picks up on the same in Romans 9. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? What was molded, will it say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? Or to bring it positively again. That argument in terms of abortion. Why is abortion wrong? Ten commandments, sixth commandment. For you form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. His hand is all over it. And it's his. That he has created us as he desired us to be. Different shapes, different sizes, male and female, he created them. Created roles and identities that are good, that we should live and walk in them and be content in them as well, because it's what he's designed, it's what's best. That's the stronger response. This is what we believe. And that's borne out even in the angels that he's created. To do what? To spread that word. He also created angels good to be his messengers. And so what has come to us by his word? What do you believe about the creation and the creator by way of that word? Maybe a better answer for us would come from Lord's Day 9. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul. And he will turn for my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he's Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father, that through the creation that he's given to us, he's revealing his work. He's revealing his majesty. And he's serving us, even as he has given it to us for his word. Because that's why he's made all of it. Did God need an earth? Did God need anything that's been made? No. He doesn't need it. But he wanted it. He desired it. That he created all things then for the service of his word as well. For the service of his revelation. That he has recreated all things for the service of the word with regard to 5 things briefly. He's created them for himself. He created all things in order that it would serve its creator. That was enough. What is my purpose in life? To serve the Creator. That's why I was made. That's why the angels were made. To serve the Creator. He's created all things for the service of mankind. He created all things in order that it would serve its Creator, that he also still upholds and governs them by his eternal providence and infinite power for the service of mankind. Not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to eternal life. That even now, that same world which cries out his glory, that the world shuts its eyes to, is serving for their judgment. And yet we pray that in his time and in his way that he will recreate them as well. He's certainly done that for us, right? He has created all things for the service of the word in regard to the elect. That it would serve its creator. But then what? To the end that man may serve his God. Why does God give the creation to man? Why does he give them all things? Build it up. Work it. Shape it. And do so for my glory. Here's all the stuff. Make it resound to my glory. He gives it to us that we might serve him with all of it. Creating angels to do what? To serve his elect. Because it also serves unto judgment. And that really becomes part of that reason there's that talk of judgment upon the angels. Is that it is showing us that way. It is showing us the danger of not holding to such a view even. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the scheme of the devils. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That even that understanding serves us for his word to drive us again to himself as its maker. Because in the end, and we close with this, he's going to make all things new. That's the joy of the creation, right? That in knowing that it's broken, that the creation cries out for restoration, so too in that last day, God says, I am making all things new. And that's for us as well. That as we speak of that wrong and that hardship in the world, we can give testimony of the fact that, you know what, it is hard. And it is struggle. And it does hurt us. But a day is coming when all things will be made new. And every tear will be wiped from our eyes. And we will be with the Lord forever. You see, we have more to say. And certainly much more than even this to say on a night in which we come to the table. But that view of creation speaks more than just a theological point. It's a whole framework and not framework creation. But an understanding of worldview in such a way in which we have something to say to the world and can use that creation to testify to the grace and glory of God. May we do it together and spur each other on to the same. Amen.